great plays, The White-Headed Boy by Lennox Robinson. The National Broadcasting Company presents Great Plays, a series of famous plays selected to show the development of drama from the sunrise performances in ancient Athens down to the contemporary theater. We are privileged to have with us Mr. Burns Mantle, outstanding American drama critic and known throughout the country for his yearly volume of Broadway's best plays. He will act as commentator at today's production of The White-Headed Boy. Mr. Burns Mantle.
And now, my fellow playgoers, we come out of the recent past into the present. Lennox Robinson and the White-Headed Boy belong definitely to the theater of today, and even more definitely to one of its most vital units, which would be the Abbey Theater of Dublin, home of the Irish Players and the Irish National Theater. Robinson was a tall, fairly shy young fellow of 24 when W.B. Yeats selected him as director of the Abbey Theater. That was in 1910, while Yeats and Lady Gregory were reorganizing the Abbey. This was following the defection of W.G. and Frank Fay, who had been carrying on from the foundation days some 10 or 12 years before. Robinson had written a couple of plays for the Abbey before then, and he wrote many after he became a director. He was a serious young dramatist in his early days. He believed greatly, he admits, in the realistic drama of Ibsen and Strindberg, and, in spirit, tried to rewrite it. But happily for us and for the theater, he grew out of this mood. Grew so completely out of it that he could write The Far-Off Hills, one of the Abbey's finest comedies, and even drama at Inish, which makes a grand sport of the dramatic high hats who nearly wrecked an Irish village with their Ibsen pose. Mr. Robinson is a staunch defender of the drama that is true to national inspirations. He wants the Irish drama to be all Irish, and the American drama to be all American. At the Abbey, he followed the artistic reign of the poets, of Yeats and Synge, of Lady Gregory and Pedrick Colum and others. Getting away from the poetic legends and the dirt floor and peat bog drama of the Irish peasantry, Robinson brought his plays into the kitchens and living rooms of the Irish middle class. And now for Mr. Robinson's play of today. The White-Headed Boy was written during the war, but reflects nothing of the war spirit. It was produced in Dublin in 1916, got to London in 1920, and to America in 1921 with Arthur Shields and Maureen Delaney in the company. Today, William Redmond will be the Dennis, Grace O'Malley, the Mrs. Gehagen, Grace Valentine, the Aunt Ellen, Ralph Cullinan, the Duffy, and Jerry Buckley, the George. This is the story of the Gagans of Ballycolman, a small village of Ireland. William Gagan, the father, God rest his soul, has been dead these several years, since when the family has been presided over by his widow, the buxom and hearty Mrs. Gagan. And a great manager is Mrs. Gagan. Indeed, she'd need to be with three unmarried daughters under her feet all day and two strapping sons. Her youngest son, Dennis, the white-headed boy himself, has been away to college, and that has eased things a bit. But today, Dennis is coming home. Well, let's look in on the Gagans. In Harold McGee's radio adaptation, we find them first in the living room of their cottage. It must be late afternoon, for Mrs. Gagan and her oldest daughter, Kate, are getting the tea things ready. Hannah is helping them. They say there's not a house in the village in which Hannah hasn't been a servant. She was in a hotel in Cork once, but only once. They kept her for 2 days. But listen, Hannah is speaking to Mrs. Gagan.
Will I bring in the ham, ma'am?
Do, Hannah, and then run across to Mrs. O'Connor's like a good girl. Ask her to oblige me with a couple of fresh eggs. Tell her it's for Dennis they are, and she'll not refuse you.
There was a duck egg left over from the dinner.
A duck egg? Isn't it well you know Dennis has no stomach at all for coarse food? Be off across the street this minute.
I will, ma'am.
Kate?
Yes, Mother.
Where's baby?
She's above in the room, writing.
Must you writing and writing? Isn't it a wonder she wouldn't come down and be ready in the place before her brother?
Ah, oh, what harm. Don't take us 2 minutes to finish this. Anyway, the train isn't due till the quarter.
And it being market day, it will be a queer thing if it's not 10 minutes late or more.
These chrysanthemums are all Peg Turpin had. She stripped two plants to get them.
They're not much indeed, Jane. But Dennis always had a liking for flowers. Put them there in the middle of the table.
Yes, Mother.
Bring me the toasting fork from the kitchen, Kate. I'll make the bit of toast here. It'll be hotter.
Oh, very well, Mother.
I met Aunt Ellen up the street, Mother.
For goodness sake, Jane. Did she say she was coming here?
She did.
Oh, then bad luck to her. What a night she chose to come here. Where are we to put her to sleep?
If we put Dennis to sleep in the room with George and Peter, we could put Aunt Ellen...
You'll do no such thing. I'll not have Dennis turned out of his room. The three of you girls must sleep in the big bed. That's the only way we can manage.
Yes, Mother.
What crazy old scheme has Ellen in her head this time, I wonder?
She didn't tell me. But by her manner, I know she's up to something.
God help us, and Dennis will be making game of her. And maybe she won't leave him the bit of money after all.
Here's the fork, Mother.
Here, Jane, go over to the fire and be making some toast.
Yes, Mother.
Who's that going out?
It's me, Mother.
Come in here to me, baby.
Can I do anything for you?
We're through now, baby. Small thanks to you. Where are you off to?
Only to Duffy's to post this.
Is it love letters you were writing all day?
You know well it wasn't. Only me shorthand for Skerry's.
Shorthand, more ya. I'd sooner there were love letters. I've heard it said Thomas Norton married Julia Roach for her lucky hand with butter. But I never heard yet of a man marrying a girl for shorthand.
I'm not wishing to get married, thank you. It's not my intention to spend my days in Ballycorlan. Up to Dublin I'm going. And if I marry there, it's a gentleman I'll marry. A gentleman who works in a post office.
Kate, what did I ever do to have such a fool for a daughter?
Ah, oh, she's young. Little more than a child.
Faith, she's 30. It's time she learned sense. Now, if Hannah would bring in the eggs, we'd be ready.
Well, Jane, here I am.
Here's Aunt Ellen, Mother.
How are you, Ellen? I hope you're good.
I'm grand, thank you. How are all of you? Will it bother you to put me up for the night?
Not the least bit in the world. Sit down, Ellen.
I've a lot to talk over with you.
You have, and you'll see Dennis. Peter's just gone down to the station to meet him.
Is that a fact? Did he pass his examinations at the medical college?
He did. Well, at least he told me he'd be sure to pass.
Oh, that's good news. Twice he's failed.
Small blame to him if he did. He got a sort of a weakness the first time. Too hard he was working, Ellen. And the last time there was a cross old fella examining, Dennis told me he couldn't come round him at all. Nothing he said would please him. Isn't it a wonder, Ellen, that have such a cross man to examine them?
Oh, I'm told Dublin doctors are a fright for crossness.
Is the tea ready, Mother?
We'll have it the very minute Dennis comes, George.
Oh, I didn't see you, Aunt Ellen. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You're looking well, George.
I can't wait, Mother. Let me have a cup of tea. I have to go back to the shop.
Don't sit there like a good boy. You'll toss the table.
I will not. Ham, chicken, apples, a cake. Is it a party?
Not at all. Only Dennis coming, and he'll want a bit after the journey.
You spoil Dennis, Anne. He was always your white-headed boy.
Indeed, he's nothing of the kind. I don't make a pin's point of difference between one child and another. Hannah would give you a nice cup of tea in the kitchen, George. There's bread and butter there, and a lovely duck egg was left over from the dinner. Run and tell her, Kate.
Yes, Mother.
George, I want to tell you of a great plan I have.
Another plan?
Glory be to God.
Did you ever hear of a cooperative shop, George?
I did. I'd have nothing to do with one of them.
Why?
They're bad. Ruining honest traders, that's what they're doing.
Is that a fact? Well, we're starting one over Kilmurry.
You are?
Up there in the mountains, you know how hard it is for us to get anything. So a lot of us have joined together and we're going to open a store there. It's going to be a great thing for the family.
How so?
Well, the papers say that half the success of a cooperative shop depends on the manager. We're going to give a good salary to our manager, up to £150 a year. And there's a small house and an acre of land.
And who is he to be?
Your own brother, Peter.
Peter?
For goodness sake,
isn't he just the man for the place? He knows all about a shop. He's clever and hardworking. And if he was out of this, Donna Brosman could marry Jane and come in and work in his place.
Oh, Aunt Ellen, aren't you the great woman for plans?
It might suit Peter, all right.
But, George, if them cooperative things are as bad as you say, maybe we oughtn't to let Peter be mixed up in them.
Sure, somebody's got to get that £150, and we might as well get it as another. God knows we're wanting the money badly. I'm striving to put enough by for Jane's marriage And now nothing will do baby but hoisty up to Dublin, learning bookkeeping or shorthand or something.
Glory be to God. Is it notions she has?
Aye, notions. But they're notions that cost me money, and it's costing a lot to make Dennis a doctor.
Well, the Cregans made their son a doctor, and I'm sure they're in a very small way.
Is it that little snipeen of a fella, Joe Cregan? Sure you wouldn't put him alongside of my Dennis. He's no smartness.
Dennis is smart enough to run up debits in Dublin.
Debts?
Aye, and betting on horses.
From the time he was a little fella, he was always fond of the horses, Ellen. I remember well one day, and he little more than a baby.
Well,
was...
he's a bit too damn fond of them for me.
I've a nice cup of tea for you ready in the kitchen.
Thank you, Kate. We'll speak again about this, Aunt. You're staying the night, I suppose.
I am.
How are you, Aunt Ellen?
I'm good, thank you. And you, baby?
Oh, I'm just grand. Mr. Duffy gave me this telegram at the post office. I suppose it's for you, George.
Thanks, baby.
A telegram? Oh, has something happened to Dennis? Oh, I knew he should be here before this. Oh, George, what is it at all?
Oh, be easy, Mother.
It's not from Dennis at all, but I think it's for him.
What's in it?
Hard luck. Gagan's hope also ran. Sorry, Flanagan.
What does that mean?
I know no more than yourself.
Show me it.
Here.
Hard luck, Gagan's hope also ran. Sorry, Flanagan.
Hmm.
Well, that don't seem to make no sense to me, Dennis.
You've some idea in your head about it, George.
I have. It's my belief it's about a horse race. It's my belief Dennis has been betting again.
Well, he wouldn't. He gave you his word he wouldn't.
Flanagan? That's the name of the young gentleman came to see Dennis on a motor bicycle last summer.
I remember him myself, Jane. A lovely young gentleman. Seemingly he had a great liking for Dennis. He talked to me about him for a long time. Half laughing like. The Hope of the Gagans, he called him.
What's that? The Hope of the Gagans? Did he call him that?
He did. Dennis told me it was a sort of a pet name he put him on him in college.
So?
What is it, George?
Gagan's Hope also ran. That's either a racehorse or it's Dennis himself.
I don't understand you.
He's either broken his word to me and is betting on horses, or else he's failed again.
His examination, you mean?
I do.
God help us.
Yeah, he hasn't failed, George. Don't think it. He told me himself last week in a letter he'd be certain to pass.
Oh, 'twould be terrible for him if he failed.
Be terrible for us, you mean? He'd never break his word to you about the betting.
For his own sake, I'd almost hope he had. For if this isn't about a horse, if it's about Dennis himself, if it means he's failed,
You're speaking very cross, George, about your brother.
I have reason to speak cross. If he's failed for the third time, the devil another penny will he get from me, except his passage to Canada.
Oh, George.
I mean it. You're all looking at me as if I was out of my senses. It's out of our senses we've been these years and years, spending lashings of money on an idle, good-for-nothing young fella.
You're a George.
From the day he was born, hasn't everything been given to him? Look at the whips of money laid by for his education. He was too grand and too clever to be sent to the national school like the rest of us. Oh, no. He had to go into the city every day by train, second class, to be taught by the Christian brothers. Huh. Look at Kate there, worn and gray before her time, an old maid. Wouldn't she have been married 10 years ago to Joe O'Connor, only we hadn't a penny to give with her? It all been kept for the laddo to send him to college, Trinity College. Nothing less would be fitting, of course. And what's there to show for it all? Nothing at all. He doesn't even pass his examinations. What's keeping Jane from marrying Donna, only Dennis? What's keeping baby at home, and she mad to be learning up in Dublin, only Dennis? What's keeping us straightened and pinching and saving, only Dennis, Dennis, Dennis? But the old horse learns his lesson in the end, and I've learned mine. Not another red halfpenny will he get from me. And you can tell him that when he comes in.
Ellen, what's come to it all to speak like that?
It's true what he says. Every word of it's true.
Hold your tongue, baby.
I'll not. I'll say every word of it's true.
Kate, run after your brother and pacify him.
Yes, Mother.
Oh, Ellen, what's come to him at all?
'Tis true. You always made a pet of the boy. But sure, we all did. I was reading in The Girl's Friend not long ago how foolish it was for a mother to be making differences between her children. They said
and
that...
why shouldn't I make differences? Is there anyone living who'd stand up on the floor and say that Dennis isn't smarter and cleverer than his two brothers? Or his sisters either? Or the whole menagerie of the Gagans lumped together? From the day he was born, I knew he was different. Oh, Ellen,
It will break my heart if George turns against him now.
Quiet yourself, Anne.
Now, now, Mother.
Go out, Jane, and speak to your brother. He always had respect for you.
I'll see what mood he's in.
From the day he was born, I knew he was different. I was getting an old woman when he came. You remember, Ellen. It was nearly 10 years after baby was born.
Hmm.
I thought I'd never have another child. It seemed like a miracle, a boy to come after all those three lumps of girls. Oh, he was a lovely child. And now if George turns against him, sure he has the money and he can do what he likes. Dennis away in Canada, 'twould break my heart.
Oh, he's rampant and raging in the kitchen. He says if the telegram is true, if he's missed his examination, he'll ship him off next week.
I'll go to George myself, Kate. I'll talk him over. He can't be in earnest.
And what about Delia Duffy? Isn't he promised to her as soon as ever he's a doctor? Is she to be shipped to Canada along with him? Where's George? I'll go to him.
Hello, Mother.
Oh, Dennis, Dennis, my darling boy, where were you? I've been so worried about you.
Hold on, Mother. Rather, don't hold on. Don't kill me altogether.
Oh, how are you, my poor boy?
Top hole. Oh, hello, Aunt Ellen. This is an unexpected pleasure.
You're looking well, Dennis.
Well, Kate.
It's nice to see you back, Dennis.
Where will I leave these?
Oh, chuck them into my room like a good chap, Peter. Here, I'll give you this coat.
Right-ho.
Oh, Delia, I didn't see you. Come in and sit down. You went to the station, I suppose.
I did. I can't wait, Mrs. Gagan, thanks.
You're a stay and have a cup of tea.
I must be off home to give my father a supper. Dennis will come home and see me later. There's questions I want to ask him. I have it in my mind he's been carrying on with a young lady in Dublin.
Oh, Delia, I swear.
Now, Dennis, don't tell lies in an empty stomach.
Oh, Delia, wait a minute. Wait, I want to speak to you.
He's looking gay enough now. Little he knows what's before him.
Oh, Ellen.
Come.
He has.
Where is he?
Yes, where's he gone?
He's just seeing Delia Duffy to the door. Now, George, it won't be hard on him. He's dead tired and hungry.
Did he say anything about the examination?
He didn't. It's likely he doesn't know. It'll break his heart when he finds out he's failed. If failed he has. Couldn't we keep it from him for a day or two?
It's better he should know it, Mother. George is right. It's time a change was made.
Jane.
You never think maybe I'd want my chance as well as Dennis. You'd never think maybe Donna would get tired waiting.
And I'm not going to stay in this hall of a place any longer. Baby, hold your tongue. You're an unnatural family. That's what you are.
Well, George, Jane, and baby, how are you? Oh,
hello, how are you, Dennis?
Well, what's the confabulation about?
Tell Hannah to bring in the tea.
Yes, Mother.
Beastly cold, isn't it? Oh, hello, Aunt Ellen. What's the latest? Is it true that you've been making a fortune turning turf into paper?
It isn't.
I'm surprised to hear that. A wide-awake woman like you, with a bog of your own. You should keep moving, Aunt Ellen. Keep moving.
Thank you for your advice.
Aunt Ellen has some regard for the family. She's got a good position in her eye for Peter.
What's that?
Manager of a shop. A cooperative shop.
Oh, one of those things.
It's time someone of us made a little bit of money.
Oh, if there's money in it. I'm sure there's no one knows better than I how much we want money.
Poor boy.
No one knows better than you how to spend it.
Well, it's made to be spent, isn't it? What are you all grousing about, anyhow? Look what I brought you, George. A box of cigars. They're good ones, too.
Oh, George is as good a Dennis. He never forgets you.
Wait till you see what I have upstairs in my bag for you, Mother.
Thank you. But I'd rather you wouldn't be spending your money, my money, on me. Tell me this. Have you been betting lately?
George.
Oh, no. Honor bright. Never once since you gave me that last drawing.
You sure you weren't betting?
Yes, are you sure?
Well, absolutely. Why do you all look disappointed as if you wished I'd been? What's the matter?
What does this mean, so?
Oh, wire. Is it for me?
Read it and see.
Oh, I suppose it's from Flanagan. He said he'd wire the result of the exam. It wasn't out when I left Dublin.
Don't mind it, Dennis. Have your tea first. 'Tis nothing at all.
Be quiet, Mother. Can't you let him read it?
Well?
Oh, I've lost my exam. That's a beastly nuisance, isn't it? Of course, I'm not surprised. I guess I hadn't got it.
Oh, never mind, my poor boy. It doesn't matter the least bit in the world.
Here's the tea, ma'am.
Here's Hannah with the tea. Put this out of your mind now and have a bit of chicken and a sup of tea. Sure, what are those examinations, after all? Only cross questions and botherations. I never could see the use of them. Run off and boil an egg for dinner, Hannah.
Yes, ma'am.
There's a nice hot cup now. Drink it and don't worry your head over this.
Oh, I'm not worrying, Mother. I'll get it next time for a dead, sir.
You won't.
Oh, yes, I will. You'll see. Don't worry about it, old chap. Push me over the butter.
I've done worrying. I've gone through a deal of that in the last few years.
That's right. Take life easy. That's what I do.
I've been thinking that. It's time you worried around a bit now.
I'll worry till I get this exam anyway.
I'm not going to ask you to.
What do you mean? You're looking dashed solemn. What is it?
Don't mind George Dennis. He's a bit put out tonight, but you...
Mother! Dennis, we've been thinking things over. We think you've been long enough at college, and it's time you left.
Left? Leave Trinity?
That's what I said.
But I don't understand.
Well, here it is in two words. There's been enough and too much money spent on you. I'll spend no more. Yes, I will, though. £20 more. That will pay your passage to Canada and leave a bit in your pocket.
You're joking.
I am not.
But why?
Because there's a couple of others here to consider as well as yourself. It's fair they should get their chance. You've had yours.
And might I ask, what am I to do in Canada?
Oh, you can find out when you get there. You've a pair of hands, haven't you? Well, when you've an empty belly and a pair of hands, I tell you, you won't be long finding something to do.
I see. Are you all agreed on this? Or is it only George?
Dennis, darling, I'll never desert you.
Are you all agreed on this? Jane?
I'd be sorry to see you go, but Donnie is getting tired waiting for me.
Baby?
You're not the only one who wants education. I'm not going to stick in Ballycorman all my life.
Kate?
George is right.
You've had your chance, Dennis, and you've thrown it away. It's time you turned around and worked for yourself. Let this be a lesson to you.
It's time I got a look in.
Well, I think it's a damn shame.
It's your own fault. You brought it on yourself.
I didn't. I never asked to be sent to college. I never asked to have all this money spent on me. I'd have been quite content to live here with the rest of you.
Ah, you were too clever for the like of us.
Different altogether.
I wasn't.
Look at you standing there amongst them, Dennis. It's easy to see how different you are.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm different now. But whose fault is that? It's not mine. Who was it made me out to be so clever? Who insisted on making a doctor of me, of sending me to Trinity? It was all of you. You give me all the education of a gentleman, lashings of money in my pocket, no wish denied me, and in the end, you tell me I'm to be a laborer.
There's other work besides farming.
It's unfair.
I won't let you go, Dennis.
Oh, I'll not take a shilling from any of you. I'll get enough some other way to take me out of this. Oh, don't be afraid to be bothered with me. I'll go back to Dublin tomorrow.
Dennis!
Oh, I'll be free anyway from this to make my own life in my own way. I'm tired of other people managing it for me.
It breaks my heart to hear you talk so bitter. And Delia, what will Delia say at all to all of this?
Delia? You may be sure George has some plan in his head for Delia. She's to go to South Africa, I suppose. Or maybe he's arranged to marry her himself.
I've no wish to part you. She can marry and go to Canada if she's willing. I'll pay the passage for the two of you.
I've no intention of asking Delia to come out and rough it with me in Canada. I'll tell Delia the truth. Tell her I'm being kicked out by my family because I'm good for nothing. Oh, I'll make an end of the whole thing. I'll write to Delia tonight. No, this is very minute. Babe, darling, get me a sheet of paper and an envelope.
My heart's broken between you all.
Oh, don't take on so, Mother. Here's your paper, Dennis.
Thanks, babe. You're a jewel. Now, I'll sit over here and write my letter.
I don't think he should write that to Delia about his being turned out. Great laugh, and the neighbors will be having at us. And all the talk we made of his cleverness for the last 20 years.
There's truth in that, Aunt Ellen. You're right, Aunt Ellen.
If you'll take my advice, you'll give out that he's gone out to a good position in Canada. I had a brother there once, 25 years ago. He died without a child. Oh, well, no matter. Can't you say that Dennis has gone out to his cousins? That they're in a big way of business? That'll save your face.
You're a great woman for schemes, Aunt.
It's a good idea. We won't be disgraced out and out.
Do you hear what we're saying, Dennis?
I do. It's nothing to me what lie I leave behind me. I've told her I'm off to Canada in 2 days, and we can't get married. Well, I'll put a postscript to say I'm going out to a big position.
It's a pity you're so hasty. Delia's a good match. You shouldn't throw her away so smart.
Hannah?
Yes, Mr. Dennis?
Take that note down to Duffy's, will you?
I will. There's your egg, Mr. Dennis. It isn't late 2 hours, and Mrs. O'Connell says she'll send you in one every day as long as you're here.
Oh, I'll be putting no strain on our hens, Hannah. I'm off tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Here?
To Canada he's going, Hannah. To a grand position there with his uncle's eldest son.
Canada? for goodness sake. And is he not going doctoring?
Oh, this is better than doctoring. A great position he'll have. You can be off now. Tell everyone you meet about Dennis.
I will, to be sure. I'm delighted, Mr. Dennis, things have turned out so well for you. Delia Duffy will be burning the house down for pure joy tonight. I'll be off now as fast as me legs can carry me. Here to Canada he's gone, and to a big position.
Burn the house down for joy, will she? There'll be no house burning if Aunt Ellen has her way, and Aunt Ellen is a great one for scheming. Later that evening, Aunt Ellen is talking with Peter in the Gagan living room when they're interrupted by a knock at the door.
There's a knock, Peter. Who can it be at this hour of night?
Hannah's store in this half hour. I'll see who it is. Oh, tis yourself, Mr. Duffy.
Good evening, Peter.
I'll come in with you.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Duffy. You're welcome. I was wondering who the knock might be.
It's late for visits, but I slipped up to see George for a minute.
He's in the mother's room. Will you tell him, Peter?
I will.
Won't you sit down, Mr. Duffy?
Thank you.
Well, it won't be long to Christmas now.
That's true.
You're looking well. How's Delia these times?
She's well enough. She got a great throw over tonight.
Oh, is that a fact?
Is Dennis around?
He's not. He's gone to bed.
He's going from you, I hear.
He is indeed, poor boy. Oh, it's hard parting from him. But since it's for his advantage, of course, we couldn't stand in his way.
To be sure.
I always said he was too clever to be a doctor. When you see the ignorant fellas that are turned into doctors, you can't believe, Mr. Duffy, that it takes much wit to cut off a man's leg or give him a bottle of medicine.
There's something to that.
Now, in Canada, he'll find an opening suitable to his smartness. A brother of me own went out there 40 years ago, and 'tis wonderful the way he got on.
Is it to his people Dennis is gone?
It is. Oh, he left a troop of sons and daughters after him.
And where do they live?
They? Oh, they live in St. Paul.
St. Paul? I thought that was in the States.
There's a place of that name in Canada, too. I suppose I wouldn't know my own brother's place.
I beg your pardon, ma'am. Indeed, I meant no such thing. he's in business, I suppose.
Oh, you may say he is, then. By all accounts, he owns half the town.
You tell me. Dennis would have a fine position, so.
Oh, the best in the world. Nothing to do but superintending-like. Strolling about with his hands in his pockets, making other people work and putting money into the bank all the time.
Indeed, that sounds a good life. Tell me, what class of business has your brother?
A mixed business, Mr. Duffy.
Mixed, I see. Evening, George.
Good evening, John. Peter here said you wanted to see me.
I did. This is great news about Dennis.
Aye.
He's off to Canada, I hear.
He is.
Well, Deal is in a state over it.
Ah, she needn't be. Indeed, we were all sorry about that, but it couldn't be helped. Deal is a nice little girl. She's too good for him.
That's a fact.
She'll take up with someone who'll be a deal more suitable.
They've been promised to one another for 2 years. As soon as he'd be a doctor, they were to be married. And now in the heel of the hunt, he gets a big position in Canada. He spreads his sails and away with him, leaving her behind. It looks to me as if you thought she wasn't good enough for him.
Indeed, John, you're making a mistake. That's not the way with it at all. It's the other way about.
And that's the way I look at it anyway. And that's the way the neighbors will look at it.
Sure, it's not cross about it, you are.
Oh, no, not at all. There's nothing in the wide world that a man likes better than to have his only child trampled like dirt. To be left fooled. To be made the mock of the countryside. Cross? What'd make me cross? I never felt in a pleasanter temper than I do this minute.
Ah, you're talking strange.
Am I, Peter? Well, the two of you will hear stranger talk than this before you finish with the Duffies.
What do you mean?
I mean Dennis marries Delia, or I put the matter into the lawyer's hands tomorrow. £1,000 damages.
John.
Mr. Duffy.
You're raving.
As long as Delia has a father by her, she'll not be treated that way.
I'll show you. The Duffys aren't the people to be trampled on so easy. I'll have the smartest lawyer in Ireland on my side. I got all Delia's letters that Dennis wrote her tonight. I'll teach you the way to treat a decent, honest, poor girl who never did a day's harm, only demeaned herself, mixing with the low, sneaking people the like of the Gahagans. Good night, dear.
Stop, for God's sake, Mr. Duffy. You don't know what you're talking about.
Faith, I do, only too well.
It isn't true. All that about Canada isn't true.
Isn't he going there?
He is, but to no situation there. He's been kicked out of this because we're tired of paying his bills.
You expect me to believe that?
You must believe it. Aunt Ellen, tell him what I'm saying is true.
It's true, every word of it. I've no cousins in Canada. My brother died unmarried. Dennis will have to work like a laborer in Canada.
We're turning him out. He's a useless, idle fella.
No sense at all.
He's a disgrace to the family.
Well, what sort of a fool do you take me to be at all? Haven't I two eyes in me head? Don't I know Dennis since the day he was born? Isn't he known to be the cleverest, smartest lad in the countryside? And now you'd like me to turn around and disbelieve it all. Ah, oh, you're clever. But you're not clever enough for me. Here's my final word to you. Dennis marries Delia and takes her with him to Canada.
He can't.
Or he finishes his course in Dublin and marries her when he's a doctor. The very minute he's qualified.
He can't.
Then I bring in action. £1,000 damages. You can take your choice. I'll give you 10 minutes to yourselves to talk it over. The marriage or an action. That's my final word, you pack of schemers.
Oh, he's a terrible man.
Oh, that's a nice fix we're in.
What the devil can we do now?
There's but one thing for it. Dennis must marry her. He must take her to Canada with him.
He'll do that, all right. Sure, he's mad to marry her.
Call him down, Peter.
He's gone to bed, I think.
Well, pull him out of bed, then. This must be settled before Duffy comes back.
I'll call him.
Oh, it's a terrible upset we're in.
It was all your fault with your schemes for saving the family's good name.
What?
If we told him the truth from the first, this wouldn't be honest now.
That's a queer thing to say to me, George. Small respect you're showing me.
I don't know what I'm saying. Since the father died, I haven't had a minute's rest, but pull this way and that way. This one wanting to get married, another going into business, baby flying up to Dublin, Dennis doctoring. Oh, there's no escape for me. I'm caught like an old cow with her head in the stall.
Here's Dennis, George.
Well, what do you want me for? Haven't you bothered me enough this evening without hauling me out of bed?
Dennis, old Duffy has been here raging mad. He threatens a breach of promise unless you marry Delia. You'll have to do it. You'll have to marry her at once.
What? Marry Delia?
Yes, and then take her to Canada with you.
Oh. I knew you'd be delighted. It was breaking your heart parting from her. A man's lost without a woman out there, they say. You'd read in the papers the great scarcity of women there are in Canada.
That's so. She'll be a great addition to you.
Now listen here to me. Haven't I agreed to everything you planned for me all my life through? Tonight, I agreed to go to Canada because it's your wish. I agreed to break with Delia. Now, you want me to take Delia off to Canada without a position, without a place to go to, with a few pounds in my pocket that wouldn't keep us for a month? Put the idea out of your head. I'll not do it. There's things I'll submit to myself, but I won't ask Delia to share them.
Do you mean to tell me you don't want to marry Delia? You don't care about her?
I do care for her. That's why I won't marry her.
Well, if you went back to college...
I won't go back to college.
In the name of God, what do you want?
I want to be let make my own life in my own way. I want to be let alone and not be bothered.
Where are you off to?
To bed, of course. And to Canada.
Will you marry Delia?
No!
Oh, Duffy will be here in a minute for his answer.
Well, it's the breach of promise now and no mistake.
Oh, we're ruined.
Gerald, not at all. Maybe when the fit of anger passes, John Duffy will think better of what he said tonight.
Maybe he'd come to terms.
Peter, I wouldn't demean myself by making terms with him. Let him bring us into the courts. I'll face him. I'll not have it said that I was afraid of him.
That's right.
A Gagan's as good as a Duffy any day.
And better. Glory be to God, there he is.
Well, I suppose I'll have to let him in. 'Twouldn't do to pretend that we're all gone to bed.
Open the door, Peter. I'm afraid of no man. I'm wondering,
I'm wondering, Aunt Ellen, if you spoke to Duffy yourself tonight. You used to be good friends long ago. I've heard it said that
sure
you and
he... speak to him. A woman can often come round a man. Ye only heat him.
But I'll have nothing to do with compromises and settlements. And it's no surrender.
He's coming. But do the best you can for me, Aunt Ellen. I'll go up and speak to Mother.
Yeah.
Well, ma'am, I'm back. Where has George gone to?
He slipped up to speak to his mother. Peter, go and look for him.
Yes, Aunt Ellen.
Won't you sit down, Mr. Duffy?
I'd sooner stand. 2 minutes will give me my answer, I suppose.
Ah, John Duffy, you're a clever man. I don't know a cleverer. You're looking to get a deal of money out of this action?
I am.
I wonder, will you? It's the foolish people who go looking for money in a breach of promise case. The wise ones settle it up between themselves. And you were never a foolish man, Mr. Duffy. A clever man would settle the whole thing for £50.
Would he indeed?
You know well the Gagans are a weak family. If you got a couple of £100 damages itself, who knows would you ever be paid? Come, Mr. Duffy. If I gave you £50, would you withdraw the case?
I got my senses still, thank God. £50. Keep it.
Well, that's not a civil way to be answering me. And yet we were good friends once. John?
We were.
I often think of those old days. Ah, but I suppose you've forgotten them long ago. But we were good friends.
It wasn't my fault that we weren't closer than friends.
I remember. those days are gone long ago. You'd have given me anything I asked then.
I would.
Do you remember the day you walked 12 miles to get a red ribbon and I'd set me mind on heaven for the races?
I do.
And now I'm offering you £50, and you throw it back in my face as if I was an old hen woman at a fair.
£50 is no money at all.
60, then. 70. Ah, John, you couldn't refuse me for the sake of old times.
Not your talking of old times. Look here, Ellen. Are you in earnest? Do you want the case stopped?
I do so.
And there's a way you can do it.
Tell it to me.
You can do what I asked you to do when we were boy and girl together.
Mr. Duffy!
Why not? I tell you what. Give me £100 down. Promise me you'll marry me before Shrove, and I'll let Dennis and the Gagans go to the devil.
Oh, I could never do it.
You were near doing it 15 years ago after I buried the wife.
Oh, I've lived my own life always. I'm too old to change. I want freedom.
Ah, you'll have all the freedom you want with me. I'll take care of you. I'll look after you. When you were a young girl, Ellen, you were too proud to look at me. And you married... And I married Honorora Riley to spite you. Oh. After she did it. After she died, I asked you again, but you wouldn't have me. You're the only woman I ever wanted. You set me mad tonight with your talk of old times. You must marry me. You must. Never will you regret it.
Oh, I couldn't, John. I'm old. I like to be free. If I give you £100 without the promise.
It couldn't do me.
But why do you want to marry me?
Contrariness, I suppose.
Oh, stop kissing me, John. Oh, you should be ashamed of yourself.
You'll have me. I see you will.
You're taking it out for granted.
I'm taking you anyway.
Stop it. Stop it. You're a terrible man.
Why the devil didn't you let me know that 30 years ago when we were boy and girl together? I made an offer at it one time, and you slapped me across the face.
That's what I'd like to do now, this very minute.
You may. Here's me face.
Oh, go along with you.
Oh, holy star. I'd like to get drunk. I'd like to pull the house down. I'd like to go bawling, singing through the streets of Castlebar. Oh, the night of the wedding, the night of the fun.
Oh, if you keep singing like that, you'll have George down.
That reminds me. I'll draw up a paper, and you can sign it.
What are you asking me to sign?
It's a promise. I promise to pay me £100 down that you'll marry me before Shrove, provided... Is there two eyes in provided?
Only one.
Provided I drop the case against Dennis. Have you your checkbook handy?
Yes, here in my bag somewhere.
Make out a check for £100.
It's a whip of money.
Sure, it's not going to pass out of the family. I'd spend it on stocking the farm.
Oh, you're a terrible man. And I suppose you must have your way.
Sign there, no.
There. Oh, for the love of goodness, don't breathe a word of this to the Gagans.
I will not open me lips. And it would suit me better if they thought I withdrew the case of my own free will. Isn't it like a story in the pictures, Ellen? The way you and I have come together at the end, isn't it?
Let go of me. George is coming. Now, I'll slip out and leave you two together.
All right, me darling.
I'm sorry for leaving you so long, Mr. Duffy. I was speaking to my mother and that young rascal of a brother of mine. It's no use trying to make him see reason. You might as well be talking to a deaf man.
Is that sure?
My aunt was speaking to you.
She was.
Now, Mr. Duffy, what use is there in going into court? 5 minutes friendly talk is better than all the lawyers in the four courts. Come, John. We were always good friends. What will you take to drop the case?
To the... £500.
Oh, I mean in earnest.
I'm speaking in earnest.
I'll give you 200.
Put your hand there.
All right, John.
There's one condition I make. Not one word of this to your family or anyone. I'd rather have it thought that I withdrew the case myself.
It will suit me, too, to be quiet about this. The family would be mad with me for going behind their backs.
Tell me, when will you let me have the money?
I'll write a letter to you tonight promising to pay it in 6 months' time, provided you don't bring up the case. I'll have to look about for the money.
That'll do me. But if I haven't the letter in the morning, I'll start with the case.
Oh, you'll have it, never fear.
Is that Mr. Duffy's voice?
Good night to you, Mrs. Gagan.
Is it true I hear that you're making a case set against my Dennis? That you're going to bring him into the courts?
That's so.
Don't go into it now, Mother. I've been talking it over with Mr. Duffy. By tomorrow morning, he's likely to see matters in a more reasonable way.
I'm a generous man, ma'am.
I know you are, and I'll say no more. Only leave it to God and yourself. Would you oblige me by taking a note down to Delia?
Certainly, ma'am.
What's that, Mother?
Only a letter of goodbye from my poor Dennis. There's a note for yourself, too, Mr. Duffy.
Thank you, ma'am.
Are you going to bed, George?
I have to write one letter first.
Let the devil... £20 in this envelope?
Shh. Don't let George see it, Mr. Duffy.
That I won't. Well, I'll be going. Good night to you.
Business, oh, I hope business is good by you these times.
Business? Oh, business, ma'am. Business is good. Never better. Never better. Good night to you both.
There's surely no depression so far as Mr. Duffy is concerned. And all the Gagans, excepting poor Dennis, seem satisfied with the way things are going. More power to them, we'll say. We're back now in the Gagans' cottage, and we find the three Gagan girls greatly interested in a favorite feminine topic of conversation.
Is it Weldon's fashion sheet you have, Jane?
No, a better paper, Vogue. Peg Turpin's sister sent it here from Dublin. What would you think of that one?
To be married in?
Yes, babe.
Oh, wouldn't you feel ashamed, like, walking up the chapel in it?
I would not.
Oh, it's elegant, elegant.
For God's sake, look over the page.
Well, of all this...
It's extraordinary, the things they put in those fashion papers.
Have either of you seen Dennis?
We didn't, Mother.
I gave him a bit of breakfast very early. Not more than 7:30, I think. And he went out, and I didn't lay eyes on him since.
And now it's close on 12 o'clock. Oh, Kate, do you think there's anything after happening to him?
Yeah, what would happen to him?
What mightn't happen after all the work there was last night? Shipped off to Canada, parted from the girl he loves. Many a man has thrown himself into the river for less.
Ah, not at all.
Oh, I'll go look for him.
Will you look at that one now?
I'd drop dead if I had that on me.
Oh, it's not so outlandish when you've looked at it a while.
Would you fancy me in it?
You'd look lovely in anything, babe. But I'd be in dread, Father Murphy. You'd speak of it from the altar.
If you paraded Ballycorman in that reel.
Oh, do you think I'd waste it on Ballycorman? It's in Dublin. I'd wear it.
Is there no sign of Dennis?
He's not been here, Aunt Ellen. Oh, I hope to goodness nothing's happened to him.
Oh, Jane, you're as bad as Mother. She has him killed and buried. Look, Aunt, what would you think of me in that?
Oh, wish a babe. You'd never disgrace us going about like that.
Oh, it's elegant. And Jane is a lovely one here picked out for her wedding.
Are there wedding dresses there? Show me.
Oh, I believe Aunt Ellen is thinking of getting married.
How smart you are. Yeah? Well, what about that one, girls? Supposing I was getting married.
Sure, that's enough for cloak, Aunt.
Good morning to you.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Duffy.
Good morning, Mr. Duffy.
Good morning, Mr. Duffy.
Good morning, Ellen. I hope you're good.
I am, thank you.
Were you thinking over what I said last night?
To tell you the truth, I never thought of it since.
You didn't?
Never once.
My mind's full of the one thing only at the present minute, Mr. Duffy. Dresses. Wedding dresses, no less.
What?
It's my belief she's going to get married on the sly.
Hold your tongue.
Wedding dresses. Is that what you're at? Oh, that's all right. However, I didn't come here to talk the fashions. I wanted to see George for a minute.
He's above. I'll call him. Come on across to Peg's, babe, till you see the blouse I have my eye on.
All right, Jane.
Will you excuse us, Mr. Duffy?
Oh, certainly, certainly. Well, Ellen, so you're fixed on the dress already.
I haven't. But if I've got to be married, I may as well be married decently.
Oh, never fear. We'll make a smart thing of it. You know, Ellen, Easter's terribly late this year.
Is it? But what matter? I always think it's nicer late.
But the late Easter makes a late Shrove. I looked at the calendar before I slept last night. Holy star, I could hardly believe my eyes. I don't think there was ever such a late Easter in the memory of man.
Well, what matter?
A man in love, you know.
Oh, stop. There's George and his mother.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Duffy.
Good morning, John.
Did you see Dennis?
I didn't. He wasn't over at my place. Dealer's in bed, sick.
The creature. I hope, Mr. Duffy, you've come up to tell us you've changed your mind about the breach of promise. I'm sure you wouldn't wish to be hard on us, old friends as we are.
To be sure, Mr. Duffy will be reasonable.
You're all talking as if the man was something terrible.
Well, I've been thinking things over. And after all, quarreling among neighbours is a bad thing. Your poor father, George, was a good friend of mine. And for his sake, and because it's Dealer's wish, and because I'm a peaceable Christian man, I'm going to withdraw the case.
The blessing of God on you for that word.
Shake hands, John. You've spoken like a man.
I'm glad I was able to do this for you. Now that I must be going back to the post office. The inspector might be here this morning.
Wouldn't you have something before you go?
No, thank you, George. Seldom I touch anything.
Ah, small drop. Come, John.
Well, just a mouthful.
A drop for you, Aunt?
No, thank you, George.
You'll have some, Mother?
A small drop for Mr. Duffy's sake. Here's long life to you, Mr. Duffy.
Well, here's luck to yours.
Dennis, where were you? I thought you were gone from us.
Oh, not at all. You don't get rid of me quite as easily as that. Morning, Mr. Duffy.
Morning. Dealer, I thought you were sick.
I'm better.
You look it.
You seem sorry.
Dealer, I'm sorry we had to come between the two of you, but there was nothing else for it.
Why, I'm sure you only did what was right, George.
As a matter of fact, I haven't given Delia up.
But you must.
You can't get married, you know.
You're off to Canada tomorrow.
Oh, yes, I know all that. George, I've been thinking things over. What you said last night was true. I've been a bad brother to you, and it's right for you to turn me out. The only thing that makes me unhappy is this case that Mr. Duffy threatens against us.
That needn't bother you.
Oh, it does. It's likely to draw a lot of money out of you.
Hush. No, listen here. Oh,
now, forgive me for what I said last night. I've seen I was wrong. I wrote another letter to Delia last night. I saw her early this morning. We talked the matter over. Now, don't let the weight of the breach of promise be on your mind a minute longer. Mr. Duffy will never bring it.
How do you know I won't, young man?
Because, Mr. Duffy, Delia and I were married half an hour ago.
What? It's a lie.
I beg your pardon. It's true.
You couldn't be married so smart.
Oh, Father Murphy had heard the story of my going to Canada, and he was quite ready to marry me. I'm so glad, George. I've done what you wished me to do. Excuse me for a minute.
Delia, how dare you? How dare you?
Father.
Ruining me. Ruining me. That's what you'd like to be doing. Hadn't I my fortune made? Wasn't I settled for life? Look at here. A letter from George giving me £200, provided I don't go on with the case.
George, how could you?
And look at here again. £20 in notes from Mrs. Gagan to let the case drop. To put nothing in the way of the two of you.
I was missing £20 this morning. So that's where they went, Mother. Give them here, Mr. Duffy. They're mine.
Anne, I'm surprised at you.
And look at this. £100 from Aunt Ellen and a promise to marry me before Shrove. And now, I suppose, it's no better than waste paper.
Ellen, I'm amazed at you, thinking of getting married at your age.
Aunt Ellen, after what you said.
I'm ruined. That's what I am, ruined.
Quiet yourself, Father.
Ah, it is easy to say quiet yourself. I never thought you'd turn on me like that, Delia. The only child I ever had.
Look here, Mr. Duffy. Give me back that letter I wrote you.
I will not.
Give me back my check. I'd be thankful for my £20.
There's been trickery and underhand dealing here. I'm not inclined to part with these in a hurry.
Trickery? Underhand dealing? You're a nice one to be talking about trickery when you had us all tricked up to our eyes last night. And Mother robbing me. And Aunt Ellen betraying me behind me back. Is it thieves and traitors I'm dealing with?
And what about yourself, George?
Oh, look here, all of you. What's the use going on like this, scolding and attacking each other? Too smart you've all been trying to be, and Dennis and I have shown you up. Can't you make peace now? Can't you act like...
Will you hold your tongue, girl? Enough trouble you've made already. One certain thing is, after this morning's work, I'm done with you. Done with you. You can leave the house today. Not a shilling will you ever get from me.
And I say the same about Dennis. We're quit of him now forever. I tell you, it's very soon, Delia. You'll repent of the deceitful way you've acted today.
You can spare your words, George, and you too, Father. Dennis and I aren't asking help from any of you. We can get on very well without you. Dennis has got work. He can support his wife, and no thanks to any of you.
Oh, is he after getting an appointment?
I knew something good would turn up for him.
What is it, Delia?
Here he is himself. He'll tell you.
For goodness sake, Dennis. Where in God's name did you get those overalls?
Larry Hogan lent me them.
I've been telling them, Dennis, that you've got work. Tell them all about it.
Well, as we came up the street from the chapel after being married, one of the men working on the road where the steamroller is was taken ill. I saw he was pretty bad, and I ordered him off to hospital. The foreman was cursing and being left short-handed. So I offered myself in the sick man's place. I'm to go down there after dinner hour at 1 o'clock. Delia's going to see if we can get rooms in one of Nolan's cottages.
What's that?
I'll send up for my clothes this evening. You'll be glad to see me starting work at last, George.
You're mad.
You'll be working on the street?
Yes, on the street. I hope in a day or two we'll have worked up as far as the post office, Mr. Duffy.
Oh, my God.
Dennis, you mustn't do it. George, speak to him.
Dennis, boy, don't do it. Think what everyone will say of you and what sort of a name they will put on us to say we drove you out on the road. You to be working, Dennis? It's a disgrace we'd never get over.
Delia, speak to him. Make him hear reason.
Why should I? You told me straight a minute ago we needn't look to you for help. We've got to live. Do you think Nolan's will have a room?
Delia, do you want to break my heart? A Duffy to be one living in one of Nolan's little houses. Look at here. Let the two of you come and live with me.
Come and live here.
Come and live at my place.
No, thanks. I want to be independent. I want to be working.
Oh, think of something, Aunt Ellen. You were always a woman for schemes.
Dennis, I always favored you. You were always my pet. Come out to Kilmurry. Manage the shop there. It's $150 a year in your pocket, and I leave you the farm when I die.
Do, Dennis.
Do like a good boy.
For the mother's sake, Dennis.
Look at here. I'll give you this if you will. There's £20.
Oh, keep it, Mr. Duffy.
Here's your aunt's check for £100. It's endorsed and all.
Take it, Dennis, take it.
George will give you the £200.
I will anything to save us from this.
I don't want it.
Then what in the earthly world will tempt you?
I only want to be able to do what I like with my own life, to be free.
Free? Be dead, isn't he like old Ireland asking freedom? And we're like the fools of Englishmen, offering him every bloody thing except the one thing. Do, Dennis, do like a darling boy. Go out to Kilmurry and manage the shop.
I don't know that much about shopkeeping.
Yeah, that's the best reason you could have for going. Sure, tisn't a real shop at all. It's only one of them cooperatives. The sooner it bursts, the better.
You'd like me to force me to do this, just the way you forced me to do everything else. Or will I never be free of you? Well, if I go, but mind you, I don't say I will. Delia will have to look after the shop. I won't.
Do, Delia. Be a good girl. Say you will.
Dennis, we're beaten. We'll have to go. We'll have to give in to them. But don't fret yourself. I'll look after the shop. You'll never be asked to do a hand's turn in it.
God bless you, Delia.
Well, there's not one of you here have ever understood, Dennis. He's been straitened and denied all his life through. But I'm going to give him what he wants now.
Do you think Kilmurry is what I want?
An easy life. No responsibility. Money in your pocket and something to grumble at. What more do you want?
Maybe we'll get you something better later on, Dennis. And anyway, you'll have the farm when I die.
Ellen Gagan, what sort is the farm likely to be the day you die and you treat him the way you do? Listen here. Isn't it your sacred and solemn duty to those two helpless young creatures to take care you leave it to them in good condition?
Maybe so.
To do that, you've got to marry me.
Oh, you frightened me. Well, I suppose, for Dennis's sake, I'll have to have you so.
That's the woman.
Well, thank God everything is well settled. I'm dying to tell the others. They'll be delighted.
The gob, I clean forgot them.
Peter will have to stay on here.
Jane can't get married.
Baby can't go to Dublin.
How is it we all forgot them?
Thinking all the time of Dennis we were.
What are we to do? What are we to say to them? They'll have my life.
Quiet yourself, George. They'll all be delighted when they hear the way Dennis is settled for life. I'll talk to them. Leave it to me.
Oh, faith, I'll do that with a hat and a half. Here they are.
What? Isn't it a fact?
I'm married.
It's quite true, thanks be to God. Dennis is married. He's going out to Kilmorey to manage the shop. We're going to give him £300 or more.
What?
What's that you say? I knew you'd all be delighted.
Delighted? I suppose this means I can't go to Dublin.
Not at all, baby. You'll go someday, never fear.
Someday? Does this mean I can't marry Donna?
Not at all, Jane. You'll marry him someday.
And what about me?
You'll be all right, Peter, someday.
Well, I think it's a shame.
Shame. Think shame to yourselves. What sort of unnatural children have I got at all? Would you grudge your poor brother the one little bit of luck he's had in all his life? Look at him sitting there with the girl he loves, and he after marrying her, and not one of you would wish him joy.
I'm sure, Dennis, I have nothing against you. I hope you'll be happy, only I...
May you be happy.
Someday.
Good luck to you.
Girls, look here. I've a plan in my mind for you all. After I'm married...
After we're married?
Well, that's the boldest plan she ever made. After you're married, wish you God help you, John Duffy.
Yes. God help you, John Duffy.
Well, Dennis has his bride and a job, and Duffy has Aunt Ellen and the farm, and we have had a pleasant visit with the lot of them. Next week, we will bring our Great Play series to a close until next season.